This Bible talk, titled Peace, is on Psalm 122. It's part of our Summer Psalm series on the Songs of Ascent, and it was given at Robena on Sunday, the 16th of January, 2022.
Well, Happy New Year, friends, again. Well, it's not quite a new year, is it? But it's still new. It's newish. 16 days into January, a brand spanking crazy new year. And as you think about what 2022 might be and all that this year might hold for you, may it be that all sorts of good things happen for you and for your family and for our church and for our world. But I think it's also safe that we can say that we already live in a world that is under immense threat. 2022 is going to be the year of elections. There's threats in regard to the disease of COVID. Our climate threatens us with cyclones and floods and fires. There are multiple threats to global democracy and stability. We are now living in a fear-based, traumatized era, and there's lots of despair. Last week I mentioned to you that we're only several days into 2022 and already we're looking for a way out of it. Some of you chuckled, some of you did again, but it's not that far from the mark, is it? There's truth in that statement. For some of us, work is uncertain. How could it not be in this stop and start economy? Questions surrounding your employment and business impact on your future and also the future of others. The need to make good first impressions, to secure contracts and to find more staff, still left hanging in the air from last year, still remain unresolved. For some of us, home life is strained. Christmas and school holidays are a recipe for trouble, aren't they? Maybe there's tension within your marriage or conflict and indifference within your extended family. And so as we begin to look at the fact that there are threats and there is despair, there's an incredible amount of polarization happening too, what with rage and self-righteousness and contempt and blame shifting. Take all of these words to mean that it's a mean day. We live in a bizarre and wicked era. And so I don't think that this year, with all the questions about everything from inflation to governments to who will play in the Australian Open, along with a sense of overwhelming depletion and massive confusion and global upheaval and unrest and unease, that for many of us, there's also a deep personal level of loneliness, isn't there? We had a small taste of coming back together, a small taste of community again, but then with Omicron and the reintroduction of more restrictions, with all of that, this year isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be much better, I don't think, as much as we desire and wish that it was different. And for the returning exiles to Jerusalem, the Songs of Ascent or the Songs of the Steps, Psalms 120 to 134, are all about the realignment of our hearts, about the reassurance of our hope and our trust. These psalms, they shift us and our focus from our collapsed world towards God's kingdom with great expectancy. These are pilgrim songs, songs about movement composed to move us. People making their way back home, returning to worship the Lord in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the spiritual home of God's promises to Israel, the location of his presence in the temple. And generations of God's people, they sang these songs too. They sang them in celebration of their return to Jerusalem. Three annual pilgrimage festivals were celebrated in Judaism: the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, and all who could make the journey up to Jerusalem made their way into the city. Any one of these festivals could have provided the inspiration for Psalm 122. And if you read the Psalms of Ascent in chronological order, in an account of the pilgrimage journeys so far, Psalm 120, you'll remember, is a lament about being far away. It's about being stuck in a place that's besieged by falsehood and deceit. Psalm 121 is a song of thanksgiving. We saw that together if you were with us here last week. Approaching Jerusalem, the psalmist sings with thankfulness now because the mountains of the city have come into view for him. And so Psalm 122 then is a celebration song, a song of joy and rejoicing, a song that moves our hearts from where we are to where God is calling us to be. Now, having arrived safely within the city gates, his heart palpitates with praise and prayer. Would you see it with me, friends? Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. What do you see there? The psalmist says that he is glad. But glad sounds a bit plastic to me, don't you reckon? Glad bags, glad wrap, glad kitchen tidies. Glad is a domesticated emotion. Glad doesn't suggest self-awareness. Glad doesn't really capture the mood. Glad doesn't capture this moment, and glad does not capture me either. In the emotional category of joy and happiness, glad sits in the range of relatively low emotional intensity. Hopeful, peaceful, pleasant, amused, content, positive, glad. It's all fairly pedestrian, isn't it? Friends, the psalmist isn't glad. Not, "I'm glad I arrived safely because my plane was on time," or "I'm glad that I didn't leave my washing on the line." This is a jubilant celebration. Joy that takes pleasure and derives immense satisfaction. His heart is deeply moved upon hearing the news, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." This isn't relatively low range emotional intensity. It's high range emotional intensity here. Elated, overjoyed, thrilled, exuberant, ecstatic, optimistic, delighted, and amazed. These aren't pedestrian emotions. These are emotions that even Presbyterians are capable of experiencing. Or am I in the wrong church? The psalmist's heart has moved. He's now experiencing overwhelming joy. Because before he heard the news, before receiving his invitation to Jerusalem, I think that it's exegetically safe to say that he didn't feel this way before. He expresses his joy now because he didn't experience it beforehand. Before his feet landed in Jerusalem, life wasn't joyful at all. Life was terrifying. Life was filled with threats. He lived in constant fear and despair. He was surrounded by uncertainty. There was confusion and unease everywhere. Friendly conversations, they polarized quickly. People were mean and rude to him. There's so much rage out there on the road. The self-righteous treat others with contempt. No one takes responsibility for anything anymore. He tried to make his life secure. He locked his door at night for safety. But he never felt safe and secure. Never confident and certain about anything. At least not like this. Not like he does now in Jerusalem. So often we think that the goal of our life is survival. We live our lives in order to simply survive them. And we stockpile our resources, don't we, in order to ensure that we do. But survival isn't the goal of our life. At least not for those who know the Lord Jesus. God gives us lives in order to live for him. The goal of following Jesus isn't survival, friends. The goal of discipleship is transformation. When we feel lost, displaced or unsettled, when change happens to us and all around us, God is moving us from the place where we are now, from the place where we're stuck, and he moves us to the place where he's calling us to be, from uncertainty to hope, from insecurity to trust, from rupture to repair. These songs of ascent, they are composed to move people. God wants us to move closer towards him. And so the hope of the psalmist, his anticipated expectancy, is now finally grounded in his experiential reality. He stands inside the security of the city, feet now firmly placed on the ground, protected by all of the comfort of the city of Jerusalem, safe and secure inside her city gates. Some of our translations sound like this is a past tense moment, like the joy has now come and gone. Our feet have been standing within your gates. But the word standing there, it's active. The joy is one of immediacy and presence. Our feet standing there in your gates. Active and present in reality. he now stands inside the city named Peace. The psalmist, he takes a good look around, and everything he sees and experiences, it reminds him of God's promises to Israel. Even the way the city's built, look there, verse 3. Jerusalem, built as a city, bound firmly together. You see, the world might be falling apart, but the city of God stands firm forever. Life might fray and split at the edges, but Jerusalem is seamless. It's a safe place to find rest. It's a refuge for those who are troubled and oppressed, a place of protection and of comfort, a shelter and a shade. Ancient city walls were existed in order to provide sanctuary. It kept the troubled world outside and at bay. It shielded its citizens from the threats of invading armies and provided community for those who were lonely. Jerusalem offered strength in numbers. It was a home for the vulnerable and those who were isolated. Contained within the city gates and walls, a community of God's people were bound together. Israel were bound together by God's covenant. What bound Israel together was God's law. These were the foundation stones that Jerusalem was built upon. God's word bound people and place together. And so now everything in Jerusalem goes up. Look there, verse 4. The tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There the thrones of judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. The tribes of Israel, they are bound together, 12 tribes, one nation, held together by the law that was given to Moses, who commanded the people of God to go up. Standing on the plains of Moab, about to enter into the promised land, God commanded Israel to go up. Won't you see it with me? Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, the words above my head. But you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all of your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there. There you shall go. The place that the Lord chose to put his name, the location of God's presence, Jerusalem. Go up every year, 3 times a year. Go up and offer your thanks to God. But don't go up empty-handed. Deuteronomy 16, verse 6. 3 times a year, all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place where that he will choose. At the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of booths, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Passover, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, every year, 3 times a year, the people of God shall go up to the city of God and offer up their thanks to God. Also set up in Jerusalem were the thrones of judgment. The cries of God's people went up to him. God hears and he answers with righteous judgment when we cry to him. After the time of the judges in Israel, the role of the monarchy was to dispense justice. Justice that didn't show any partiality. Justice that didn't accept any bribes. Righteous justice from a just and righteous God who acts rightly and judges justly. Not perverted and corrupt justice, but justice and only justice. During times of unresolved conflict, issues that couldn't be sorted out at home, God's people, they came up to Jerusalem looking for justice, seeking peace. David was king over Israel. The house of David, friends, is the house of the Lord. David wanted to construct the temple, remember, but it was Solomon who built it. And so although Psalm 122 says it's a psalm of David, it's hard to know who actually wrote this psalm. But I want you to remember that Psalm 122 belongs to a collection of psalms. Psalms that were sung by the returning exiles and following generations on their way up to Jerusalem. They came up in obedience to God's command. They came up and offered thanks to God. They came up and searched in search of peace and security. And that's what the psalmist now prays for in verse 6. Won't you see it with me? for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. The words peace, security, and Jerusalem might not sound like the same word to you, but they very much sound the same in Hebrew. Acoustically and visually, these words, they are very similar. Because wrapped up into the idea of the location of Jerusalem is everything that Jerusalem stood for. Peace, security, justice, community. They can only be found in the presence of God. Safety, protection, tranquility, and comfort are located within the walls and the palaces of God's city. Jerusalem was where God dwelt with his people, where God chose to place his name. And the word in Hebrew for peace is shalom. Shalom isn't simply the absence of war, friends. Shalom means wholeness, completeness, fullness, well-being, restoration. Shalom is the redemptive, restorative work of God within us. It is the work that God does in us. Look there, verse 8. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. In exchange for our conflict and our divisions and our loneliness and our losses and despair, God's presence provides security, prosperity, and community. Peace be within you. That's what God offers us, his people. That's what the city of Jerusalem stood for. But the city of Jerusalem didn't stand for it very long, did they? The city of Jerusalem was invaded. The protection of the city's gates and walls didn't keep the Babylonians outside and at bay for very long. Israel's corruption, idolatry, and perversion of justice saw the house of the Lord destroyed and the people of the Lord exiled into Babylon. While the returning exiles sang Psalm 122, by the time of the New Testament, under the occupation of the Roman Empire, Jerusalem was no longer a city of peace and security. It was a place of corruption and bribery and crucifixion. Betrayal, injustice, corruption, conspiracy, and death. The city once named peace was a place of death. And it was into this ruptured city where God once dwelt with his people that Jesus came and stood with inside its city gates. And here Jesus proclaimed God's promise of peace. Peace to all that was and all who are broken. Amidst all the corruption and the oppression, the poor, the blind, the outcast, the widow and the orphan, Jesus taught about an everlasting kingdom. He went about offering God's shalom, providing wholeness, completeness, fullness, well-being and restoration to everyone who moved towards him. Inside the city gates, now inside a locked room, those who made the pilgrimage with Jesus to Jerusalem, his brothers and his companions, now seek protection and security for themselves. They are hiding in fear from their trauma. Consumed by their own doubts, polarized by their own opinions. Jesus had just been crucified outside those city walls. And so now inside them, they lock the door for security in the hope of finding some peace. But Jesus, he appears to them instead. See it with me, John chapter 20, verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Into their doubts and their fears and their grief and their despair, into this mean world that is getting meaner, Jesus speaks God's promises to fearful followers like us. Peace be with you. Jesus speaks of God's promise of restoration, the promise of resurrection, of the new creation to make all things new, into lives lived like ours, filled with uncertainty and despair. Shalom is the hope that comes from our faith. What was once offered up in the temple, the place of God's presence with his people, can you see it, friends? Is now on offer to a small room full of skeptics. For people who hide in fear all of their lives and who seek comfort in all the wrong places, Jesus comes and stands amongst us and he says, peace be with you. The sacrifices that were on offer in the temple, the commandment to not come empty-handed, is fulfilled by the scars in his hands and his feet, completed by a Saviour who opens wide his arms for us and throws open the gates of his eternal kingdom forever, that we might come and enter into everlasting celebration and feasting. In this bizarre and wicked era that we live in, this traumatized and mean day that we find ourselves, a world that promises security and comfort but only ever delivers to us betrayal, corruption and death, and into our own lives too, of despair and uncertainty and loneliness, hearts filled with doubt and distrust. Can you hear Jesus' words to you this morning? Peace be with you. Do not doubt. Trust. You see, Jesus offers himself as a safe place for us to come and rest, a refuge for us when we are troubled and lonely and oppressed. He is the place offering us protection and comfort, shelter and shade from our shattered world. Friends, Psalm 122 is about the long road home, a song about movement that was composed to move us. And the movement here this morning is the promise of repair into our ruptured world of grief, despair, and loss. We get to be loved by God. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to realize that the world is broken. Our expectations don't meet reality. That there is no certainty of today, much less tomorrow. And that not even tomorrow is promised to us. And while we can see all the brokenness out there, would you help us come to realize the brokenness lives within us too? And of all that we find wrong and at fault with others, systems, governments, people, lives, and their behaviour, are all the same things that are wrong with us? And yet you don't leave us in this world of uncertainty. Lord, you promise to be with your people. And your promise is sure because the sacrifices that were offered in the temple have now been fulfilled by your Son. The holes in his hands and feet speak of completion and the promise of restoration. And so we ask this morning, Lord Jesus, that you would bring us peace. Help us to know that you are at work restoring us, that your work in the world is to make all things new. And our experience is, Lord Jesus, that everything needs to be made new, including us. For those of us who have uncertainty today, who feel lonely and alone, unsure, fearful and frightened. Would you help us, Lord Jesus, to hear your words? Peace be with you. And for this, our broken world, we pray your peace upon it. Governments and homes and lives and families torn apart, upheaval by a disease, we pray your peace. Help us to rest in the knowledge that you are at work, the work of restore and repair. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.